When I see the children come up like that, I was preaching in another church this morning. I had a whole pocket full of quarters, and I had the kids all stand around, and I said, I'm going to put your hand out, and I'm going to give you something, and I put a quarter in every one of their hands. And I said to them, now, you have the choice of keeping that or giving it away. If you want to give it away, you keep your hand open, and if you want to keep it to yourself, you close your hand. And about half of the kids opened their hand very wide, and about half of them made a real fist over it. They weren't going to share it. Those who left their hand open, I gave them another quarter. I wanted them to get the idea that sometimes we're selfish, right? And we keep to ourselves what we really should give away. And all of a sudden, I noticed all those other hands started opening too. But you know, we have to learn lessons like that, right? When God gives you a gift, He expects you to use it, to give it away, to share it. So I'm going to ask you to bow in prayer with me as we go to Scripture tonight. Father, as we open your Word tonight, we pray that it truly may be a delight for us to be in the Word. We pray, Lord, that you would pour your heart upon us as we see your heart through it, as we see what you have called us to do. And Father, as we think about Thanksgiving coming, help this time to be a prelude to what we're going to be doing on Thursday. Help it to be a time for us to be reflecting too on what it truly means to be committed to Jesus Christ and giving away everything that you have given to us. So help us to realize, Father, that we are yours and that your Spirit works in us even as we study your Word tonight. In his name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9, and we're going to start at verse 9 and read through verse 15. It talks about giving, and it talks about being a blessing. And I have you think about that as you prepare for your Thanksgiving time. How are you going to be a blessing? How are you going to be a giver? What are you going to do on Thanksgiving Day? That is a way of really saying to others. And so I hope I'm not stealing your pastor's thunder by doing this, but I want to have you think about that in terms of a preparation for Thanksgiving. The word of the Lord then, 2 Corinthians 9. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He will enrich you in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through all your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform does not only supply the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing great God that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So far, God's word. People of God, in another country, there's a program going called the Widow's Mite, and the Widow's Mite starts off with widows. And if you go to a village, you go to a new village, you're going to plant the gospel, you're going to plant the church. And the first thing they discovered in these villages is that there were a lot of ladies alone because of sickness of their husbands or because they were the second, third, or fourth wife of a husband, and maybe the husband dies, and so they're left, they're all widows. And anyway, they went to one village, and they found in that one village alone, there were 300 widows. Now, in Kenya, women cannot own land. So when the husband dies, the husband's family comes back and takes the land away and kicks him off. But there's an older lady there by the name of Norkieku, and she had two daughters and four sons. And she was living there with her husband, and when they took her farm away, they took her land away, she had a few cattle and a few goats and some chickens, but she had no way to feed her family. And so she started growing tobacco, and she started selling snuff just so that her kids wouldn't die. At that point, the mission agency comes into play, and they go to them and they say, we have a new program and we'd like you to invite to be, have you be a part of it. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you a living for 2 years. We'll provide for you so you don't have to worry. And during that first year that you're in that program, we're going to give you 4 goats that are pregnant so that you can begin to build your flock and you can begin to have milk and make cheese out of it and you can sell it and do whatever. And in that time, you have to promise us that you will go to church faithfully every Sunday. You have to promise us that you will be in Bible study every week. And you have to promise us that you will learn a skill, that you will learn a craft, and we will help you with that. But you have to learn that skill within 2 years, and then all of the help stops. Well, that's the mission. That's the widow, and that's the mission. But there's one other component to that, and that's the sponsor. Who's going to pay for this? It's a kind of a vigorous program. It costs $65 a month for one lady. So they ask sponsors, are you willing to make a commitment for 2 years to support this lady so that she can get through this time? And that's why I mentioned the name Narkiaku. She's been my wife and my very special lady for the last 2.5 years. And Narkiaku, I can honestly say, was one that really God blessed. And as we supported her and as she began to feel like the nation she's giving to her, she began to really take a hold and she learned a skill. And within 1.5 years, she was self-supporting and she wasn't selling tobacco anymore. She was raising her children. She had a wonderful thing. But the most important thing, she came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When that happens, you wonder, what's God doing? You have, and I have been created to be a blessing. And when I have you think about that, just to be a blessing wherever you go and think the Lord is blessing, first of all. And if you read that verse, it says the Lord is blessing you in many ways. And then think about you being a blessing for time. And then think about what's the result of that? What's the outcome of it all? It's thanksgiving to God. So think about that for a moment. The Lord is blessing. And when he says that, he says he provides food for the person, but he also provides seed for the planting. And as people, and you're an agricultural society, you would understand that a little more fully. We did a lot of driving. We just got back from Florida this past Wednesday. We were down there for 2 weeks doing some word planting in a chapel down there. And as we were traveling back, we noticed a lot of fields that haven't been harvested yet. We saw thousands of acres of beans that were still in the field because it's been too wet. We saw hundreds of acres of cotton that still could not be picked because it was too wet. And as we stopped and one man was telling us about the cotton, he said, if we don't get the cotton off the land, we will not have the seeds for next year's crop. And so he explained to us the whole process. But through that, when I thought of that verse again, he provides seed to the worker. He provides seed to the sower. And when you think how God provides every day of your life, wherever you're going, whatever you're going to do, he gives you that quarter and he asks you, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep it or are you going to give it away? I give you a special gift. Are you going to keep it or are you going to give it away? What are you going to do with the gift that God has given to you? Maybe it's a gift of love. Maybe it's a gift of encouragement. Maybe it's a gift of hospitality. Maybe it's the gift that you have of being open and sharing your faith. Maybe it's another type of a gift, that gift that says to somebody else, I just want to provide you with a ride. I have a lady that I call on in our congregation. I'm calling pastor in our church. I've told you that before. And she just turned 89, and she had to give up her driver's license. She used to drive all over the country. She went to see her kids in Tennessee and Arizona and everything else. She still drove to Tennessee when she was 87 by herself. And all of a sudden, she has to give up her driver's license. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get to church. I don't know what's going to happen. She hadn't even said the words yet, and two ladies called and said, we will pass by your house on the way to church and we will take you. And if you ever need a ride to anything, we will be there for you. I talked to her just about 3 weeks ago now, just before I left for Florida. And I said to her, how is it going? And she said, I should have done this years ago. She said, I got more friends now than I know. People are giving themselves to me. And she's been a widow since she was 56. When you think of that opportunity that's there, the Lord is giving seed to the sower, but he's also giving food to the hungry. But then he goes on to say he's not only giving, he's not only providing it, but he's increasing your store of your seed. Now, you take a look at your life and you wonder, what have I been doing? What have I been going through? Where have I been going with my life? What is the plan God has for me? And maybe that plan is to be raising children right now. And I do not take anything away from parents. I had a young lady come to me and she said, I'm in a relationship with my husband and I, and we're going to have a baby, and I really want to stay home and take care of my child. I said, God will bless you. But she said, you know, my friends are all working and they think I'm stupid because I want to stay home. I said, what do you feel God wants you to do? She said, be home with my baby. I said, stay home with it. God will provide. And when I see that, I see the difference in what she was willing to invest in her child versus what she would have had if they would have had the second income. But that's the choice you have to make. This was her gift. Her gift was to be a loving mom, and she ended up, incidentally, having 5 children in rapid succession, so she couldn't have worked if she wanted to. I said that wrong. She couldn't have worked outside of the home. She was working very hard. Well, when you think of the challenge that God gives when he gives you a gift, are you willing to use it? Are you willing to share it? Are you willing to give it away? Or are you going to hoard it? Are you going to hang on to it? If you have that opportunity that God gives you, he provides a continuing, overflowing, filling the storehouse to overflowing. I started by telling you about Norkiekwe, and one day we were visiting the office of the agency that we worked for, and they were sharing that they had gone to this new building. They had 300 widows, and they said, we have to find sponsors. And while we're standing there, and I said to my wife, you know, we could probably do one more if, and then I said, no, we're just going to do it in faith. We'll take another widow. And so we had Norkiekwe, and then we've got Jane, and we started supporting Jane. And I said, you know, we can do it. If God gives me one service, one more service a month that I can preach, I'll be able to do this with no problem. We made the commitment to do so. I got home, and I had a phone call within 2 hours saying, I need you 4 times this month. You think God isn't speaking? I used that illustration this morning in church, and a man came to me afterwards, and he said, I want to tell you a story about myself. He said, when I was a young doctor, he said, I had a 1973 T-Bird, just in prime shape, and it was a convertible. And so he said, I advertised it. Nobody bought it. Nobody wanted it. Nobody even called. 3 months, we advertised continuously. There it stood in my garage. And finally, he said, my wife and I got on our knees, and we prayed, Lord, if you would help us sell that car for what we're asking, we will give it to support a new church plant right next door. And he said, we hardly had the words out of our mouth. 15 minutes later, the phone rang, and a man bought that car sight unseen. You think the Lord isn't speaking? And I think that's true, isn't it? When God gives you a gift, he expects you to take that gift. And what are you going to do with that gift? The Lord is not only giving seed and increasing your seed, but then he multiplies, he enlarges the inheritance of your generosity, the inheritance of your righteousness, to know that too, that God gets the praise and not me. As you and I walk through life, as we go down life's pathway, we see all of those challenges that are there, and we have the understanding of what is God going to be doing. How is God going to be using? How is God going to be building through us? How are we going to see what God is doing as a way of opening the world to Jesus Christ, so that as a church you can look around you and say, who in our neighborhood needs something? We were sitting down to our family dinner, and we had a very limited room where we could sit. and my son was not married, and he said, I'm coming for Thanksgiving dinner. We said, great. And so we had just enough room. We had this little room. Everybody squeezed together. We had one space set, and he walked in with three friends. And my wife didn't even bat an eye. She said, put up the card table. There's plenty of food. If you know my wife, she's always overcooking for the fact that somebody may need some help. I always tell people this is bloat from malnutrition, but it's not true. When you think of that challenge, how can I take the skill of cooking and turn that into praise to God? How can I take that very common talent, maybe of being a mechanic, and maybe go to that widow that has a car that's falling apart, or that lady down the street that can't make that thing run, and I can fix it for her, and I can put it back together, and I can get them going? It's simply a gift, isn't it? It's a total gift that I can give away. But God gave you that gift. But through it all, He gives you the gift of righteousness that I can say, God, I'm at peace with you tonight when I lay down and when I go to sleep. And as you and I stand there in the awesomeness of it, saying, but God is the giver of it all, and God blesses. He not only provides, He not only increases, but He also enlarges the scope of our righteousness that we can share Jesus Christ with other people. So, you're a blessing. And if you notice that, the very first challenge that says, and you're a blessing, you have been blessed that you might be generous. What an awesome thing. All of that money that God gave you, you have to account for someday, right? You have to say, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to be like those children today? I'm going to keep it in my open hand and say, God, how are we going to use this today? Or am I going to keep it fisted and say, but I got to have that for my retirement? You realize what things have changed? When I graduated from college, my friends were all married, getting married. They were buying houses for $20,000. There's a condo development right near where I live, and they're selling three-bedroom condos for $300,000. I couldn't even imagine what I would have to look like to buy something like that. But see, that's the change, right? We maybe keep it to ourselves, but God doesn't multiply. God doesn't bless what we hide. God blesses what we multiply and what we're willing to share. If He's given you a talent, He expects you to use it. And as you and I are there and we realize then, Lord, I am a blessing. I have been blessed that I can be generous. And when He talks about it, He says, because He recognizes our need, and then He went way beyond our need and He provided for everything we needed every single day. Those awesome things that are there in life itself as you and I go and as we look around. One of the greatest gifts I watch an old man give to a child was time. He saw this little boy who was lonely. He took him and set him on his lap, and he said, can I tell you a couple stories? And he began to relate some of his life, and pretty soon that little boy was just engrossed in what he was saying. And then he went to sleep in his lap, and he just kept holding on to him. He said, I'm going to just give him a gift of sleep for a little while. And then he woke up, and that little boy said, you still here? And he said, where'd you think I would go? You know, that's talent, isn't it? What he had was the gift of time. He gave them a gift that God had given to him, which maybe he couldn't do a lot of other stuff yet, but he had the gift of time. And in that gift of time, he had the gift of friendship, and he could give that gift away. And through all of that, giving praise to God one more time, giving God the thanks for everything that He's given to us. As you and I are going through life and we're giving God the thanks, we're not looking for ourselves, right? It's not here, it's not me, but it's Him that I want you to see tonight. I've said it before here, and I've said it often in other churches. You forget about me, you will miss nothing. You forget about Jesus Christ, whom I represent, you will lose eternity. And that's the truth. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have a hope of retirement that's going to go beyond tomorrow. but with Jesus Christ in your life, with that testimony that Jesus Christ is real, you will know the reality of what it is to see Jesus face to face. And as you and I go through life, we go through those experiences, we see those things happening. She was a little girl that I met many years ago. I was a student in seminary and I was in the summer charge. And this little girl had leukemia and she was 11 years old and she's in the hospital. And I went to see her and Deb said, you know, every card I get has got money in it. And she said, I got this cigar box under my pillow and I'm putting all that money in there because one day I'm going to be a nurse. And then I can give it back to other people because I want to be a nurse. And this went on for months. She never left the hospital because she was very, very sick. And one day I went to see her, and it was getting towards the end of where we didn't think she was going to live much longer. And I walked in the room, and she had veins, tubes running in both arms and in both legs, and they couldn't keep ahead of it. And she reached under her pillow, and she took out that cigar box, and she said to me, I want you to give this to somebody else, because I'm not going to need it anymore. God is going to give me a home in heaven. So I'm going to see Jesus. A theologian at 11 years old, that taught me a real lesson in life. It's not about what you have. It's about who has you. It's about who holds you in his hand, who keeps you there in the grip every day. And so I give thanks to him every day, saying, God, you have given us the opportunity. You've given us the challenge. You've given us the reality to know that we belong to you every day and that we are your children and that we can stand in the firmness of faith every day. To have that assurance, to have that confidence, to be able to say, but I want to give God the thanks, I want to give him the praise. And then he goes on to say, and also the service of your hands. The things that you're doing for others. Those very real things that happen. She was an older lady, lived across the street from me, and she said one day, but Ron, I can't even get out to the road for my ride because my driveway's not shoveled. I said, well, why don't your children shovel it? And she said, they don't care about me. And so I started shoveling her driveway. I'm retired now. I shoveled my own driveway, went over and shoveled her driveway. And I did that for the whole winter. And finally, at the springtime, her daughter came over and said, we want to thank you for what you did for Mom, and I want to pay you for it. Now, for a whole winter of shoveling snow, she handed me $20. And I thought, it's not the money. You never got the point, did you? You should have been here to care for your mom. And when I see that, when I think of that, it wasn't about the money either. It was about how can I help Hazel feel like somebody cares about her, that somebody really knows. But the greatest thing was Hazel came to know the Lord. And that's the awesomeness of it. That we can give him the praise, we can give him the thanks, we can give him the glory, and that through it he sees the joy that we have because another person has the right to eternal life. So what's the end result of all this? It is thanksgiving to God, right? First of all, I am thankful to God. I'm thankful for everything he's given to me. I'm thankful for the life that he gives me. I'm thankful for sometimes for the trials he gives me. I'm thankful for sometimes when I have to slow down a little bit because the pain gets a little different than other times. And I'm thankful that even in those times, I realize God has a plan and a purpose. And God has a place. You know, one of the hardships of being retired is I get to go to Florida and work in winter chapels. It's tough. And I've just been there for 2 weeks, and it was only 93. And we complained about the heat. And then we come home, and it's cold. And now we're looking forward to going back to another place for 8 weeks in March and April. And in fact, we left the day before the snow came. And my daughter called and said, Dad, you missed the snow. And I said, I didn't miss it a bit. And that's the way I feel. But see, even snow is a gift from God, isn't it? Did you ever think about that? Snow is a gift from God. God provides the snow so that there's enough ground moisture built up for next year's crop. God has a wonderful, wise plan if we're only willing to see it. But we give him the thanks, first of all. And then we exceed in that thanksgiving because every day we see greater blessings that God is doing as he builds his church, as he strengthens his church, and as he sends it forward to do his work, those challenges that are there every single day. But then there's a third thing that happens, and other people begin to give thanks because of what you have done in their life. And so they're rejoicing and they're giving thanks. But then it goes on further from there, and the chapter says, and they begin to pray for you. So there's another thanksgiving that they're praying for you. You have a prayer warrior that's walking beside you. And when you think about all of those things that are happening, thanksgiving to God, I want to just ask you, think for just a moment, how are some of the ways that I can give thanks to God in this week? First of all, with my mind, I can keep thinking God's thoughts after him. I can continue reading the scriptures and focusing on the word so that that word becomes a powerhouse in my mind and becomes the way that directs my life every day so that I know where I'm to be. Scripture says, thy word is a light upon my path, right? How shall a young man direct his way? By focusing on God's word. And as you and I claim God's word, it becomes a power. So I can think about it. I can do it in my heart because I can commit my life to Jesus Christ even more fully. I can say, Lord, everything I have and everything I own, it's all yours because you're only loaning it to me. And sometimes those children that he loans us that we have to give back, those are times too, even in the heartache, we rejoice. And God took two of them home and in the womb, we could rejoice because God knew what he was doing. When the little foster we had that died at the age of 16, we could praise God for her because we had the ability to be with her and to watch her for 15 of her 16 years, even though she never wiggled a muscle. What a joy. Have you ever had the joy of caring for a total invalid? It is really a joy. It is such a blessing. And to watch as the nursing staff come in and out and relate. And then that nurse came in one day, and the rule in our family was Jordan has to go to church. And she goes to church with Charles Stanley on television. And so when you come at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, Charles Stanley's program will be on, and we expect that program to stay on. This lady was not a Christian. She was an Australian. She said, well, I'll do her bath during that time. So she would do her bath. And after about a period of about 6 months, we noticed that she would do every Sunday because she didn't believe in Sundays. She didn't believe in holidays, so she did all of her holidays. But she started coming earlier, and we noticed she was getting the bath done so that at 9 o'clock, we thought, what's doing? We were off to church. And my wife had to go home for one reason with one of the other children. And she walked in, and Mary is sitting there on a stool right in front of the television taking sermon notes. A little girl who never spoke a word by her condition of being totally disabled led that lady to Jesus Christ through a crazy way. God works in awesome ways and we give him the praise. He's got the glory. He has the opportunity. So I can do it with my mind. I can do it with my heart, with meditating. I can do it with my mouth, with the words I say, the songs I sing, the confessions I make. I can do it with the hands and the way that I serve other people, the things that I do that other people can see Jesus Christ in me. And I can do it in every way, the scripture says, in every way, on every occasion. When you think about that in your life this week, how are you going to serve the Lord? How are you going to give it away? You're going to hang on to it with a closed fist, or are you going to say, God, you gave me the gift, and I want to give it back to you in thanksgiving and in praise? And then that last verse, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Where would we be if we didn't have the Lord in our life? Individually, as a family, as a congregation. I belong to Jesus Christ, not only for a time, but for all eternity. One day, I'm going to see him face to face. And some days, I can hardly wait. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of being in the Word this evening. Thank you for the joy that we have as we serve you in so many different ways. And thank you, Father, for each individual here with the gifts that you've given to them and the ways that they're using them in so many different ways to be a blessing also. within Second Church, within their community, within their family, and to one another. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we are yours and that you have given us Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's nothing in our life that we own that just here on loan from you for a time. And so we pray, Father, help us to return it with all the blessings that you give to us in his name. In his name we pray it. Amen.